Welcome to the Movement Church in Orange County, California. We believe that today's message will inspire you, challenge you, and raise your faith that God is up to something big in your life. Let's jump into today's message.
We're going to have fun, you guys. I'm excited. And we're going to have fun in church today because we are talking about a brand new series. And this series is called A Bold Church. Somebody say, A Bold Church.
Bold
Church. Come on, say, A Bold Church.
Bold Church.
Hey, we're not going to be a church that's apathetic. We're not going to be a quiet church. One of the greatest privileges that we have is that we get to gather together to worship a risen King, our Lord and Savior, who loves us so much. And I'm just telling you, we have made a decision at the Movement Church that we're not shrinking back. We're not going to be quiet. We are going to be bold. And that's what this series is really going to be about. So say it again for me one more time. We're going to be a bold church.
Bold church.
That's right. That's right. Hey, listen, I'm so excited you're here today. I really am. And I just want to say a big welcome to all of you who are joining us online right now. We're so excited that you tuned in from wherever you are in the world. We're honored to have you here at the Movement Church. Those of you in our family room, we just love you and just honored that you're here at church. Even though you're not in this room, you're in the room right over there. And we're excited that you're here. But we're going to dive in today. We're going to be a bold church. This whole series is just going to remind us who God's called us to be. You know, we've always said at the Movement Church that we're not a country club for Christians. And what that really just means is we're not going to be a place where we just are comfortable and like we circle the wagons and it's just me and my people. Like, we're going to be the kind of church that has a big picture vision of all of the people that are in Orange County that desperately need to know the hope that's found in Jesus. At the Movement Church, we're a bold church. We want to come into church and experience the power and the presence of God in real ways. And I don't know about you, but I don't think you just want to show up and check the religion box, like clock in and clock out. I think when you show up and you carve out time on your Sundays to be in church, you come because you want to experience the power and the presence of God. That's what I want. And there's so many people in Orange County that desperately need that. Do you know that less than 10% of Orange County attend church, the population of Orange County? Less than 10%. That means there's a lot of people that need to know the hope that's found in Jesus. And at the Movement Church, we are on mission to connect people to Jesus and to lead people to mission. That's why we're here. It's why we exist. And we're boldly pursuing the mission that God's given us. And to be a bold church, we got to be a church that prays bold prayers. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. The title of my message is Big Asks. Got to say that carefully. Big asks. We want to be a church that prays bold prayers. Matthew 21, verse 13 says, "It is written," this is Jesus talking, "my house will be called a house of prayer." This is God's house. We may meet in a high school auditorium. This is God's house. When we show up on Sundays, this is God's house. And if his house is to be called a house of prayer, I want to talk to us about what it looks like to be a bold church that prays bold prayers. So let me pray for us. Jesus, I just come before you right now, and I thank you for what you're doing in this place. God, I thank you for every person who is here, who's tuned in online. God, I know that there's something stirring in our spirits. God, I know we're here because we want more of you. God, we want to experience your presence in real ways. So God, I just pray that you would lean in today and that you would speak to each and every one of us. God, you know every story represented. God, you know every thought that's happening right now. God, I just pray that you would just lean in close as you do. You're so present. God, and remind us how good you are, how big you are, and stir up our faith to pray bold prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, that's just something we say in church. Amen just means I agree. I'm with you. I'm believing that with you. I want to ask you a couple questions, and I am getting over a little bit of like a cold, so hopefully I don't preach nasally today, but I'm going to drink my water. Thank you for that. Okay, I want to ask you a couple questions. How many of you that are in the room that call yourselves spirit-filled followers of Jesus, and you're going to raise your hand on this one if this is you, how many of you believe in the power of prayer? Okay, look around the room. Okay, all the hands raised. Awesome. Okay, put your hands down. Okay, how many of you know that God can do all things, but yet you also know that you should probably pray more than you do? Raise your hand. Okay, look around the room. You're not alone. We're all in this together. It's like we know that God can do anything. We have this faith when we gather to believe that God can hear and answer our prayers, but yet sometimes our prayer lives could use a little B12 injection. They could use a little boost, right? We believe the scripture that says the effective prayer of a righteous person availeth much. That means there is power in our prayers. So why is it so hard to pray bold, consistent prayers? You know, I think sometimes maybe you're here and you can relate that you just feel inadequate. Like, I'm not a good prayer. I don't really know what to say when I talk out loud. Maybe that's where you're coming from. And the good news is there's hope for you because there's no perfect way to pray. It's just like conversation with God, so you get to pray like you talk. How you would talk to your friend, how you talk to a spouse, how you talk to a sibling. Like, you just get to pray how you talk. Maybe you feel like when you're praying, your mind wanders. Like you have prayer ADD. You know, you're praying and you're trying to think about something to pray for, and then all of a sudden it's like, I forgot to unload the dishwasher. Or I needed to make reservations for that restaurant where we were going to go today. Anybody relate with that? It's like that prayer ADD. Maybe, I think a lot of us do this, we struggle to pray because we're constantly comparing ourselves to someone who's a better prayer. It's like, well, I can't pray like them. They use scripture verses when they're praying. Like, they have those things memorized and it just comes out. And they're confident and they're bold. We have all these excuses sometimes for why we don't pray as much as we do. And maybe for some of us, it's just not our first thought. And what I want to challenge you with today is that there is power in prayer. There is power in our prayers. So I want to teach you a few things about praying. And I would just encourage you, take notes. You know, we have a good friend that says, note takers are history makers. Note takers are history makers. There is something about actually taking notes, writing down what you're hearing today. And if you have the Movement Church app, we've already done a lot of the work for you. You can just fill in the blanks. So just jump on there, follow along, take some notes today, because we're going to talk about prayer and how you can apply this to your life. We're all going to become amazing prayers in Jesus' name. So the first point I want to leave you with today, and this is where I'm going to kind of linger the longest, okay? The first thing I want to leave you with today is that you need to pray with persistence and consistence. You need to pray with persistence and consistence. Persistently and consistently spend time in prayer. I want to talk to you a little bit about Jesus when he was walking the earth and he was with his disciples. He spent some time helping his disciples know what it was going to look like to pray. And we read this in all of the different gospels, but I'm going to recap for you Luke chapter 11, and Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. So maybe if you're struggling with knowing how to pray, pay attention for just a minute. I'm going to give you a few things. Jesus, as he's teaching his disciples how to pray, he said this: when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. So it's our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. That just means holy is your name. When you start out praying and talking to God, it's just simply, God, you're awesome. God, you're holy. God, you're worthy. God, you're faithful. God, you're trustworthy. It's praising the attributes of who God is. And Jesus said, start there. Start with God, you're holy. And then he says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That's just the next part where I'm saying, God, whatever you want, I want. Your will and not my will. It's just this surrender of laying down my will to God's will. Your will, not my will. And then we go on and say, give us this day our daily bread. This is where we get to bring the requests. We present our requests to God. We bring him the things that are on our mind, the needs that we have. We present those requests to him. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. So what we're saying is, God, cleanse my heart. If there's anything in me that's not honoring you, that's not glorifying you, God, would you just help me to live my life for you? And if I'm harboring offense and bitterness and unforgiveness, God, help me to forgive others as you forgive me. And then it goes on and he says, and lead us not into temptation. So God, guide my path. Help me today. I surrender my day to you. Help me to know how to live my life for you today. Guard my mind, guard my thoughts, guard my actions. Help me. And this is the way that Jesus instructed his disciples to pray, and it works for us today too. And Jesus went on after giving those instructions to his disciples, and he began to tell a story, because Jesus often taught things through stories. And he tells this story about a man, and it's about midnight, and some friends show up at this man's house, and they're hungry, and he's like, oh gosh, I didn't bake any bread today. So the man goes running to his neighbor's house and knocking on the door, and it's like midnight. And the man of the house yells out, go away, I'm sleeping. And the man of the house is like, go away, I'm in bed, my wife's in bed, my children are in bed, I am not coming to the door right now, but I need some bread. I got people that showed up in my house, I wasn't prepared, forgive me, but I need something. And Jesus tells this story, and ultimately, the man of the house gets out of bed and brings the neighbor some bread, begrudgingly, but he does it. And Jesus says, how much more do you have a Father in heaven who loves you? Like, he's not just a neighbor. He's not just a casual acquaintance. You have a Father in heaven who loves you. He loves when you talk to him. He loves when you bring your request before him. He loves. Woo. He loves when we're knocking. In fact, Matthew 7, which is another account of this story, it says, ask and the gift is yours. This is the Passion paraphrase. Seek and you'll discover. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For every persistent one will get what he asks for. Every persistent seeker will discover what he longs for. And everyone who knocks persistently will one day find an open door. It's not a promise of an immediate, like genie in the lamp, answer to your prayers. But will one day find an open door. You know, the reason we can pray with this kind of consistency and persistence is because we have a God who's accessible to us. The scripture tells us, let us come boldly before the throne of grace. Like, let us come with our asks to God. Let us come with a big ask. Let us approach him because he's present and he's available for us. In fact, all throughout scripture, we see this picture of God as a God who is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere. He's everywhere in time and space. He's everywhere. And his greatest desire is a relationship with us. It's his greatest desire. You know, in the book of Genesis, we read about a man named Jacob. And if you're familiar at all with the Old Testament, Jacob's grandfather, Abraham, God has revealed himself to Abraham and then continued the pattern, and God has revealed himself to Isaac. And then Jacob is the son. And Jacob is not a nice guy in a lot of ways. He deceives his father. He betrays his brother in order to get a birthright. And now his brother wants to kill him. So he has to leave home. And this raises a big question for Jacob. Like, here he is in this moment, and he's having to run away from all that he knows, and he kind of is like, will God go with him? Like, will God go with him? Because he was going to pass through all sorts of areas where people did not know the God of his fathers. And in the ancient world, the notion amongst heathens was that if you left home, you left your God. So Jacob was young and maybe not so familiar with God. And he leaves home, he leaves Beersheba to go to Haran. This is in Genesis chapter 28, which is 600 miles away. And I just imagine on that journey, he's probably wondering, like, will God go with me? And I just imagine, like us, he knows the stupid choices he's made. He knows what an idiot he's acted like. And I just imagine if he's kind of questioning, well, have I lost it? Will God go with me? So he sets out on this journey, and he gets to this place where he lays down to sleep. And in Genesis chapter 28, verse 11 through 15, it says, he came to a certain place and he stayed there that night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones that was at that place, he put it under his head and he lay down in that place to sleep. It does not sound very comfortable, but that's what he did. And he dreamed. And this is a prophetic dream, a vision. And it says, he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you. And this is really significant, you guys, because this is the first time in the Bible where we see this promise from God, I am with you. I'm with you. And this vision that Jacob has of this amazing God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, is this picture of God with a ladder. And the whole idea that I see there when I see this picture of a ladder is that we don't have to go to special places to communicate with God. God is in the ordinary places of our life. Wherever you're at, in any moment, God is always present. He is accessible, just like that ladder. He is accessible to you and to me. He is always present. He is always available. Chapter 28, verse 16, it says, then Jacob woke up from his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. And he was afraid and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. So early in the morning, Jacob took a stone that he'd put under his head and he set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel. Now Jacob names this place Bethel because it means house of God. The El in that word, Bethel, the El means God. And what's really interesting is that hundreds of years later, when humanity was so far from God, God chose to send his son Jesus to the earth to live a perfect life, a sinless life, and to ultimately give his life as a sacrifice on the cross for your sins and for mine because God wants relationship with us. And one of the names for Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. You know, the ushers are going to pass some baskets right now, and inside of them as they go down, I just want you to take one of these stones. It's a small pebble and shouldn't be too much for you to carry. It's not heavy at all. But they're going to pass this to you. I'm not going to ask you to sleep on it tonight like Jacob. Don't worry. But I want you to take this as this reminder to you that we can persistently and consistently connect with God because he is with us. In every moment of our life, in every part of our day, when we lay our heads down to sleep, he is with us. So I'm going to give you a little challenge for this week. Those baskets are coming. And my challenge to you is that you take this stone. And I want you to take it with you wherever you go this week. I just want you to take it as this reminder that God is with you. And it's this reminder that we can invite God into the everyday, ordinary parts of our life. So maybe tonight when you go home with this, maybe when you go to lay your head down to sleep, whatever time you go to bed, maybe you take this stone and you lay it right beside your bed or nearby your pillow and you remind yourself, God is with me. God is with me. It says in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, it says, if you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. So maybe as you lie down to sleep tonight, you say, God, would you help me to sleep well tonight? Maybe if you struggle with anxiety and your thoughts run rampant when you lay down to sleep at night, maybe this is a moment for you to quote some scripture and to remind yourself, I don't have to be anxious about anything. But in everything with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, I'm going to present my request to God. That means I'm going to turn it over to him. I'm going to realize that I'm not in control and I can't do anything about this situation. So I'm going to sleep well tonight knowing that while I'm sleeping, God is still running the world. God's still in control of my situations, of everything that I'm facing. So whatever it is, maybe that's what you need to do as you go to sleep tonight is just look at this stone and remind yourself to pray and say, God, I know you're with me. I'm not going to be anxious about those thoughts tonight. I'm going to lay down and sleep with peace because I know that you're in control. And then maybe in the morning when you wake up and your alarm goes off and it feels a little early because of our daylight savings time that we are all experiencing, losing an hour of sleep, maybe when you wake up and it's a little bit early, you look over at that stone and you just make a choice to pray and to say, God, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Maybe that's what you say. It's just a moment to pray and say, God, I'm going to give you this day. And then why don't you pick it up and carry it with you to the bathroom, because I know you all brush your teeth in the morning. Carry it with you in there. Brush your teeth, and while you're getting cleaned up and ready for the day, maybe that's where you pray and you say, God, would you just search me? If there's anything in me that needs to change, if there's anything in me that doesn't align up with your spirit, God, would you help me to serve you today, to honor you today with my life? Maybe that's a moment where that's what you pray. And then you take it down and you drink your coffee and you just thank God for coffee. And then maybe if you're getting your keys to go get in the car and you get in the car, you remember and you say, God, help me to be a reflection of Jesus in the world where I'm at today. As I drive in California, help me to be a reflection of you. Jesus, take the wheel. Maybe that's what you pray. And as you go to work, maybe you set this beside your computer and you just remind yourself that Colossians 3:23 says that in everything I do it for the glory of the Lord. So I'm going to work today in a way that honors God. I'm going to honor my boss in a way that honors God. I'm going to honor the people that I work with, my coworkers that drive me crazy, in a way that honors God. And you say, God, would you give me grace for that individual today? Maybe you put it beside your cell phone because your cell phone reminds you of the people that are in your life. And you say, God, would you help me see people like you see people? Would you help me not to judge people today? Would you help me to see people like you see people? I just want to challenge you to take this with you as a reminder that you can talk to God in prayer at any point of your day. He's present. He is with you. He's with you. So it's our job to remember this and to pray consistently and persistently, knowing that we follow a God who answers our prayers. You know, one of the heroes of the Bible that did this very well, his name is Daniel. Many of you are familiar with the story of Daniel in the lion's den. But this young man named Daniel, he was an influential young man that when the Babylonian nation took over Israel and took a lot of the Israelites captive into Babylon, they set aside a lot of these young, influential men. And Daniel said, I'm gonna live my life in a way that's set apart and different. I'm not going to fall away from following God. Doesn't matter what they teach me. It doesn't matter what culture says. I am making a decision to follow God. And many of you know the stories of all the things that happened in Daniel's life. But the one thing that we see that Daniel did really well was he knew what it looked like to pray consistently and persistently. We see that he went up to his house 3 times a day and he opened the windows where everyone could see and he got down on his knees and he prayed to God. It was a consistent pattern in his life, and this leads me to the second point. That prayer consistently and persistently is what prepared Daniel for the things that he would face. So pray with persistence and consistency. I also want to encourage you, pray in preparation. Pray in preparation. Daniel's consistency to seek God, to have conversation and relationship with God, prepared him for every situation he would face. When the king had these crazy dreams and wanted someone to interpret them, Daniel said, God, would you speak to me? I know that you can, because I have relationship with you. And God revealed to him what the dream meant that the king had had. When all of the people that were serving the king didn't like Daniel, and he had this target on his back, and they were out to get him because they just hated the favor that he had on his life. Hey, some of you have got some people, it feels like, that are out to get you. It feels like they're jealous of the favor that's on your life. Daniel was there himself. And they set this edict that no one could pray to anyone but the king because they knew Daniel. They knew Daniel was going to break that rule. And sure enough, he did. Why? Because he prayed consistently and persistently. And he went up and he opened the windows and he got down on his knees and prayed. And those awful enemies of his turned him in. And there was no choice at that moment but to fulfill the law, and the punishment for praying to anyone but the king at that moment was to be thrown into the lion's den, like a pit full of hungry lions. And the king was panicked because he liked Daniel. And he was like, I hope that you're God, that you pray to so much. I hope he saves you. But Daniel approached that situation, and fear didn't consume him. Some of you need to know this. We pray in preparation. Why? Because we need to know that there is a God who is with us, so that when we face the trials in life, when things come and slap us in the face and we're like, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this, we don't have to respond in fear, but we can respond in boldness because we're prepared. We know God is with us. Daniel became a testimony to the nation of a true and living God. Why? Because he was thrown into that lion's den. A stone was rolled on top. And the next morning, early in the morning, the king came down and he said, move the stone, move the stone, move the stone. And he's like, fingers crossed. And moves the stone, and Daniel's just standing there. I just imagine, like, probably, if I could pet a lion, I would. That would be really cool. I think maybe he was doing that. Thanks, babe. That was really awkward. I just think he was standing there, and he says, King, my God has shut the mouth of these lions. And it became a testimony to the entire nation about a true and living God. But why was Daniel able to do that? It was because he had a consistency to his prayer, his prayer life. And prayer prepared him for the challenges he was going to face. God wants to be a part of our daily life. And when we pray with persistence, knowing he's going to answer, it prepares us for when the battles come. Because how many of you know there's going to be battles that you're going to face? I would just encourage you. One of the things you can do when you're praying is write down your prayers. Like, write down what you're praying for. And I say this because there's something really cool that happens when you write down what you're praying for. And a week later, or a month later, or 10 years later, God answers that prayer. God's timing is never our timing. He's never late, but he's never early. He's always right on time. Whenever it is, you can go back and you can write down what God did in that moment, and it will build your faith. It will encourage you. God is a God who answers prayers. Write it down. Write down what God's speaking to you. Because when we talk with God, when we actually spend time on a consistent basis talking with God, he talks back. God will drop things in your spirit that are just things you need to know in preparation for what's coming. I asked one of the girls in my Connect group, one of the leaders in our church, if I could share some of her stories about how God has prepared her. And Shayna is just an amazing woman of God. She's one of our worship leaders and leads our film department. And she hears God. But she's made a decision in whatever season of her life, whether she's got three little kids all around her, which she does right now, or when she was single, in every season of her life, she's made a decision to consistently and persistently seek God. And because she's done that, prayer has prepared her for some really big things in her life. And I asked her for some stories, and she sent me a notepad, and I'm not kidding you guys. I started to cry, and I thought, I can't share all of these right now. There's no way I can share all of these stories, but I wish I could, because she literally has a notepad of all of the times that God has spoken to her to prepare her for what was coming. And as I read it, I was just overwhelmed by the goodness of God, because he loves you so much that he wants to speak to you and prepare you for whatever situation you're going to face. But one of her stories was that in 2022, in her time of seeking God, she was praying, and it was kind of been in this waiting and holding pattern for quite some time. And she felt like God spoke to her that the stripping away was not done yet. Most of us don't like words like that. When we talk about God speaking to us to prepare us, we want it to be all like warm and cozy and it be something that feels good. But she felt like God told her the stripping away is not done yet. And then she said that God gave her this picture of a sword being forged in the fire. And she felt like God said, if I take you out too soon, you'll be bitter and break, or malleable and bend to whatever hits you in this life. I'm forging you in the fire. And what began to transpire just after God spoke that to her through 22 and even 23 was that it felt like there were so many things in her world that just were getting stripped away. And it was painful. And it was uncomfortable. And she didn't love it, but she was prepared for it. Why? Because she consistently, persistently sought God in prayer. God spoke to her. He prepared her. And it's a reminder that, yeah, you may be being forged in the fire right now, but I'm with you. I'm with you in the fire. You know, my daughter Brooklyn is studying abroad in London, and she's like a go-getter. She has like plans, and she's going to accomplish them. And she applied to be an RA next semester when she comes back and at her school campus. And honestly, all of us were like, you're a shoo-in. Like, there's no way that you're not going to get this. You were literally born to be an RA. Like, if you know my daughter Brooklyn, you know this. Like, she's bossy. Like, she's very mature. She's wise beyond her years, responsible. Like, she literally was in the womb born to be an RA. So there's no way that this is not going to happen. And she has a plan. right? So she gets a call or email that she didn't get the position. And she calls me and she's sobbing and she's like, I don't understand. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of like, I don't understand either. Like, this makes no sense. And I'm, and honestly, it would have saved us a lot of money. So also, God, what are you doing? But she's crying and I'm trying to think how to encourage her. And I just said, you know, babe, in Proverbs 16, it says that in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And she starts sobbing. I know. She said, I read that this morning and God was speaking to me and I know that he was preparing me. And then a few hours later, she messaged me and she said, Mom, I completely forgot that at the beginning of this year when I was talking to God consistently and persistently, we pray, God gave me a word for the year. And the word that God gave Brooklyn was unraveling. And she said, it's like God was preparing me. He was preparing me for these things that I was going to face that I didn't even know. I didn't know that my plans were going to change. Pray in preparation. Because God in heaven loves you. He cares for you. He's present. Some of you feel like you're constantly blindsided by the circumstances of life. You just feel like you're a punching bag for life. And if that's you, can I just challenge you? It's time to increase your prayer life. And I don't say that to say that if you pray more, you won't face hard things. Because that's just not the truth. But prayer will prepare you. It will give you the strength you need. It will give you the determination you need. It will fill you with boldness. Pray in preparation. You know, in our Easter packets, as we're preparing for Easter, we're setting the table for people to come in and to experience Jesus. And we're asking everyone who calls the Movement Church home to think of four people you can pray for. Why? To prepare their hearts for what God wants to do in their life. Pray in preparation. Pray in preparation. Persistently and consistently, pray in preparation. And the last thing I want to challenge you with is this. Pray with bold faith. Pray with bold faith. Paul wrote a prayer in his letter to the Ephesians, and I just want to read it, and I want you to receive it for you. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do more abundantly than all that we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Here's the conviction. Now to him who is able. Now to him who is able. It moves me because I know like you, that there's so many times where the situation feels too big, where the facts that you're looking at don't look good. There's so many times where life feels like it's just too heavy. But the scripture reminds us, to him who is able. Your God is able. Able to do what? Whatever needs to be done. He's able. No problem can stop him. No circumstance can overwhelm him. No outcome can confuse him. And I know that sometimes the circumstances we find ourselves in life and the prayers that we pray that have not been answered can leave us feeling a little bit doubtful, maybe a little bit cynical. But then I think about the scripture that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. From prison, in chains, suffering, persecuted by Rome, waiting to die. And he didn't write this. For this reason, I kneel before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of the glorious riches, he may get me out of prison. He didn't write that. He said, no. I pray that out of his glorious riches, you may be strengthened with power through the Spirit. Why? Because whatever it is that you walk through, God is with you. He's for you. He is able to move miraculously on your behalf. And it's so important that we capture this because this is what stirs up bold faith. This is how we become a bold church, where we say, I don't know what the outcome's going to be. We abandon the outcome to God. Why? Because we trust him. I don't know what the outcome's going to look like, but I'm going to knock. I'm going to persistently seek him. I'm going to invite him into every area of my life. I'm going to trust that he's going to prepare me for whatever situation I face. And I'm not going to stop believing because he is able. And he's not just able. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ever ask or imagine. More than we could think. Bigger than we could plan. Better than we could plan. I think our problem is we just so often think we should tell God how it needs to be done. And when he doesn't do it our way, we get frustrated. But you've got a God in heaven who's accessible to you, who loves you, who's present, who's available. No matter what it is you're facing, no matter what it is you're walking through, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or imagine. So for some of us, we need to stir up our faith. Stir up our faith to believe that God is capable of doing the miraculous. He's capable of providing for that financial need that you have. He's capable of bringing that prodigal son or daughter home. He's capable of helping your children rise up and become leaders in their generation. He's capable of healing your marriage, no matter how hard it may seem. He is capable of healing your body, no matter what the diagnosis might be. He is a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or imagine. So can I just challenge us, church? Could we become a church that prays bold prayers of faith? When someone comes to us and they're sick, we lay our hands on them and we believe, God, you can heal their bodies. You are capable. When someone that we know their marriage is falling apart, we grab their hands and we say, I'm going to pray with you and I'm going to believe that God's going to restore this. When someone's child is suffering, we say, I'm going to stand with you in prayer and believe that God's bringing their heart back to him. Whatever it looks like, let's be the kind of church that prays bold prayers. So pray persistently and consistently. Pray in preparation and pray with bold faith, believing that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or imagine. Amen? I want to pray for you. Jesus, stir up our faith today. God, for those of us who have been just struggling to trust. God, I pray that today you would remind us that you are present, you are with us, you are available, you are in the middle of whatever the circumstance is. God, I pray that you'd stir up our faith to believe, to hope, to know that you are working all things together for our good. God, I just thank you for the reminder that we have the privilege to commune with you in prayer. So let us not forget. Let us not neglect our relationship with you. God, let us be a church that prays. A church that prays. God, I thank you for what you're going to do. God, I thank you for the prayers that we are going to see answered. God, I thank you for the prayers that we're going to celebrate together as a church family. God, I thank you for those that are going to write things down, and they are going to see you fulfill your promises. And God, I thank you that as a church family, we're going to celebrate together the goodness of God because we trust you and we know that you're good. We give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, before we leave, I just want to talk to those of you, maybe in the room, maybe tuned in online, and you've been wrestling with your faith. Maybe you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. Maybe you have in the past, but you've just gone the opposite direction. Maybe you've been mad at God. I don't know what your story is. But we can't leave a service without giving you the opportunity to make a decision to follow Jesus. And you don't have to get your life cleaned up to do that. It's a moment where you say, God, I surrender, not my will, but your will. I want what you have. And when you make that decision, the process of walking out this journey with Jesus, it becomes such a joy. So I just want to pray a prayer with you. I'm going to ask you, would you bow your heads and close your eyes one more time? And if you're here and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, or it's been a long time, and it's time to come back, I just want you to pray this prayer with me. Just say, dear God, in your hearts, you can say this. You can say it out loud in a small whisper if you want. Dear God, I know that you're real. I know that you love me. Thanks for choosing me. Thanks for sending Jesus to pay the price for my sin. Thank you for forgiving me. Today, I'm making a decision to follow you. And all around the room, if that's you, would just let these words be your own. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye still closed, nobody looking around. If that's you and you prayed that prayer with me today, I just would like to be a part of that faith journey with you. So just as an act of faith, a declaration of faith, when I count to three, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, would you slip your hand up and slip it right back down? Are you ready? One, two, three. Awesome, I see those hands all over the room. Anybody else? Awesome. Awesome. Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing in this place. God, I thank you that you're stirring up our faith. God, I thank you for every person who's making a decision to follow you. God, what a joy to journey with you in this life that you've given us. So God, we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give God a great big hand clap.
What a message. Hey, if you just prayed that prayer, connect with us by texting Jesus to 949-267-3242. And if you're local to Orange County, be sure to check us out on Sundays. You can get all the information at theocmovement.com.